Welcome to Golf Talk Live. This award-winning weekly radio program provides you with all the information you need about private and public golf courses, special features, and interviews with the men and women, both players and executives, who impact golf across the tri-state region and the country. And now, here are your hosts, Alan Depew and Tony Leodora.
Welcome, fans of golf. Alan Depew, and I'm coming to you from Play Around Golf, the Melvern location. It is the third leg of our Golf Talk Live Winter Tournament Series, and I am joined by Eddie Chiesa. I think he's actually off hitting golf balls already. Walt Cooper keeping us on the air back at the studio. Tony Leodora will be joining us in just a moment, but to my left, the owner of Play Around Golf, Steve Graves. Good to see you again, my friend.
Good morning. It's a great morning for golf, don't you think?
It's a tremendous morning for golf, without question. Absolutely. So we were talking before coming on air. Every time we come to Play Around, it's just a great location. Temperature controlled now that we're into December. Hard to believe that Christmas is just around the corner, which, by the way, shameless plug, you have gift cards available.
We
can definitely talk about that. But this is a great venue for the beginners. Now that there's an opportunity to elaborate what we were discussing, whereas making contact is the number one key to the game, let's face it.
So, right. I mean, we get a lot of beginners coming through here. Whether they're friends of a golfer or they're part of a team-building event that their company might be having. And a lot of beginners, people who have never touched the club and that sort of thing. And so their first problem is what? Whiffing it?
Hitting the ball. Absolutely.
Whiffing it, right? They don't want to whiff. They don't want to flub it. They don't want to dribble off the tee, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've developed some programs along the way to kind of help all of this and get beginners into the game. And our first class is talking about connecting, making good contact with the ball. So we'll take six lessons. We'll help you focus on, you know, chipping, pitching, putting, and full swing, and learning how to make good contact.
It all starts there. I mean, you're absolutely correct, and you've got the professionals here at this facility as well as your Ardmore location that can help those beginners.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for a Christmas gift for someone that maybe want to try golf, this is actually a great venue to do that. Tony Leodora, you're on the line, I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
And I also believe that Play Around Golf is the only place in the entire region that you can play golf today because it's awful weather in Philadelphia.
It's a little damp.
Yeah, moist.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to rub it in, but it's 70 degrees in Florida, and it's going to be a nice, partly sunny day. So they're playing plenty of golf down here, but for those up there, there's nothing better than a little bit of golf at Play Around Golf, and it's a good weekend to work on your game because a lot of people I know are planning trips south this year, whether it's to Myrtle Beach, and we're going to be talking about that a lot more in some of the upcoming weeks because that really gets started, and also to Florida, and got plenty of talk about that coming up too. So, folks, Golf Talk Live once again is going to keep you on the links. That's been a big topic this year.
Well, I tell you what, Tony, we've got a big crowd, as you would expect, with inclement weather in the Philadelphia area today. I think we have nearly every bay is full, right, Steve?
Yeah, they're cranking.
And folks, if you have not participated in our winter tournament series, it is a 9-hole better ball of partners competition, handicapped,
of course,
and different venues. Last week was Hazeltine.
That was fun.
And this week, have we made a selection? What course?
Well,
we're
I was going to talk to you about that.
Oh, okay.
There are plenty of them out there. That,
So it's a great competition, and again, we're here at Malvern this week. We're going to be at Ardmore next week.
Great.
And Tony, I need you to come up here because I need to play a little golf.
There you go. I hear that. And while you're selecting the courses, may I make a suggestion? Maybe you want to
Absolutely.
Look south of the border because that's where the PGA Tour is this week, and how's that for a segue into our pro golf report? Of course, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Kutztown Auto and their sister store, Turnpike Chevrolet, in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. The season's best sales event brings back employee pricing on new Buick or GMC vehicles at Kutztown Auto and Chevrolet vehicles at Turnpike Chevrolet. Save up to $10,000 or get 0% financing on most models. As they say, ho, 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 save some dough at Kutztown Auto and Turnpike Chevrolet. They are both closer than you think. Alan, as I said, south of the border, the Mayakoba Classic in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. But a picturesque place. Have you ever been to Playa del Carmen?
I have not been there, but they have a heck of a leaderboard going on down there.
Yeah, Playa del Carmen is very near Cancun, let's say, and it's a great vacation area. I've been there a few times, and although I never played this course that they're playing right now, do you want to go through the leaderboard?
I will. So Emiliano Grillo, minus 13. He fired a little 63 yesterday. That's a way to get up the leaderboard fast. And he's followed by Tom Hogue at minus 9. The name I think to watch is next on my list here, Tony Finau sitting at minus 9, and Russell Knox at minus 8. You got four different players then at minus 7. But it's an interesting leaderboard, and it's an interesting question, as you touched on in your Golf Talk Minute this week. It actually, the Mayakoba got a lot of bigger name players, shall we say, than typically the Mexican event does. And interestingly, they're not on top of the leaderboard. I'm talking about the Justin Thomases, the Ricky Fowlers, and the Brooks Koepkas of the world.
Who knows? Maybe too many margaritas in Mexico there to keep them up on the leaderboard. Interesting, though, Tony Finau, a new putting setup for him. And that's always been his stumbling point. If he can get the putter hot, he's on, you know, he's way up on the leaderboard, and then other times he seems to struggle with it. So, it obviously is working pretty well, 67-66. Two pretty good scores, so we'll see how that goes.
I was just going to say, there's a couple of other interesting points there. Is there was a lot to made of Ricky playing in this event, because he's sitting right now at 49th out of 50 on the world rankings. And why that's important is he does not have exemptions into Augusta unless you're in the top 50 world rankings. And it's looking like he's missing, or I think he actually missed the cut formally. But that's an important drama as we turn the calendar turns to 2021. Does Ricky make it back down to Magnolia Lane and Augusta National?
He's going to need the win in the first 3 months of the year to get back into the Masters. So, yeah, that is interesting. All right.
And one last.
The other tour, the LPGA Tour, is down at the Colony in Texas, a little warm-up event before they play, as weird as it sounds, the U.S. Women's Open next week in Houston. And the leaderboard, there's three players at 4-under. Yulimi No, Anna Nordqvist, and Jessica Korda. They're all at 4-under. Lindsay Weaver, another American, at 3-under. And then Inbi Park, Angela Stanford, Jin Young Ko, Madeline Sagstrom from Sweden, and Hornanong Fatlam, they're all at 2-under. So they're getting ready for the U.S. Women's Open next week in Houston. Only the second time the Women's Open has ever been played in Texas. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week, because we're going to be sitting during U.S. Women's Open week talking with a past Women's Open champion, Jan Stevenson, on next week's show. So stay tuned for that one. And that's our Pro Golf Report, brought to you by our good friends at Kutztown Auto and their sister store, Turnpike Chevrolet. Employee pricing going on right now. Remember, both of them are closer than you think. That wrap up this segment, does it, Alan?
I believe it does, sir. When we come back.
In that case, yeah, take us out.
I was going to say, when we come back, a great interview with Steve Trattner of High Heat. And you are listening to Golf Talk Live, the number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Hello, everyone. This is Ron Jaworski. You're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, folks, we're back with a bit of very good news for the golf industry. The National Golf Foundation, which puts out all kinds of statistics and reports on the business end of golf, recently released statistics that for the third month in a row, golf equipment sales have broken the all-time record. That's pretty startling with all of the other bad news that we see around the country. But in this particular case, it's a reason to look ahead and have a less than bleak view of everything. So we thought we'd talk to someone involved as much as anyone could be involved, and actually on the miracle end of the reporting for the golf equipment industry. He is Steve Trattner. He is one of the partners in the company that has designed the clubs called High Heat. The company is Knuth Golf. Dean Knuth, the founder, the engineer behind the entire revolutionary design that High Heat has had. Steve, the marketing genius behind it. Steve, welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Hello, Tony. Thank you. It's great to always be with you, and I appreciate giving us opportunity. Yes, I think that the increased sales in the golf industry most importantly means that people are getting back to their normal way of life, that we've been able to take advantage of the fact that when golfers play, they can keep their social distance, they get the exercise they need, and they get outside of their house, and they don't feel like so many do, that, you know, they're just trapped and almost quarantined. So it's been great for the health of our country, and most importantly, and of course, it's good for the golf business too.
I think that's a good point, Stephen, and I'm so happy to hear you take that viewpoint on this. It sounds as if you've been listening to our weekly sermons on Golf Talk Live for many months now about how golf is the saving grace of this whole thing, and it's great to hear you say that. And now you're not ready to
read. It also gives companies like ours, particularly small companies. I mean, my goodness, you see all these small businesses who had quite a business, just heartbreaking. And I think that's heartbreaking for all Americans. But for someone like us, who's still a very small business, you know, it's really painful. And we're just blessed that we still have a loyal following. We're blessed that we have clubs that are so unique that there's a great demand for them. And for us, we're very grateful for you, Tony, when you said 2 years ago that our clubs are the greatest improvement in distance and new technology in 25 years in the golf industry. Yeah. With our three trampoline technology. And that's been a big help to us. And then we saw you, of course, the PGA show, where you loved our new turf glider sole, and our customers are raving about both of those technologies. technologies. Yeah.
You folks have been coming out with breakthrough technology every single year since you came out. And folks, for those of you who don't know, High Heat came on board about 6 years ago with the mantra of building clubs for the amateur golfer, not for the tour pro and then dumbing it down for the rest of us, but built specifically for the amateur golfer. I think it's the greatest new trend in golf, and we've seen other companies starting to copy it a bit with some of their lines, but you were the breakthrough company on that. And Steve, the High Heat started with a driver. Tell us the whole way that it rolled out after that.
It was interesting, Tony. I was an attorney for the United States Golf Association, intellectual property attorney for over 25 years. And during that period of time, my co-founder, Dean Knuth, he was there for 17 or 18 years, so I got to know him quite well. And in fact, when I remarried, I invited him to come fly out from California to out of the East Coast for my wedding, and of course he did. And at that time, he came out with a 420cc driver for several years. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, it's too expensive, it's too risky. And he said, but if I did it differently, I would put it, the center gravity, much different. I'd be a 460, a center gravity that was 45 millimeters deep and 88 to 25% deeper than the major brands and 80% lower than their center gravity. And I said, well, let's go ahead. And he goes, well, let's just do it. I said, well, why don't we be partners 50-50? And that was it. That's our partnership agreement. So believe it or not, it took us 2 years to get it to 45 millimeters deep and 18% lower. And he explained to me that is so important for amateur golfers because the major brands have the center gravity forward and high, which is where the pros like it. But he said amateurs need it much deeper and much lower because with their swing path, which is not a positive swing path on their drive, for example, amateurs are negative. And he said it's hard to get the ball up in the air. And so he explained why this is so important. So believe it or not, within 1 year we were 44 millimeters deep. And I said, we're not going out till it's 45, because that's what you said. So we spent another year, and we finally came out at 45 millimeters deep, and it's 25% deeper at 18% than major brands.
Yeah.
And at that time, a good friend, Gary Van Sickle, a former president of the Golfer Association of America, said it was the best technology in the entire industry for the year.
Yeah.
And amateurs loved it. They got the ball up. The drivers went straighter. It had a great center gravity. It didn't twist. And when they hit off center, so they got more distance, and it was more fairways and more distances, more greens and lower scores.
So, Steve, let me fast forward. You used all of that same technology as you brought out a 3-wood, a 5-wood, the hybrids,
yeah,
the 3 trampoline face that actually can hit the ball as far or farther with off-center hits than on-center. These are all the things the amateurs need. And then finally, a turf glider sole earlier this year that cuts right through and eliminates fat shots. Can't happen.
You mentioned, I already mentioned the turf glider sole, which is the best technology in 25 years, according to you and several other people. Some of our great writers in the media. And then some of our customers said, I have a fat shot problem. I hit thin shots. And so we said, well, why don't we do a new sole technology? So we came out with this new sole technology, which you had a wonderful review in last year, best new fairway woods and hybrids again, 3 or 4 years in a row, and it corrects the swing flaw. Mm-hmm. So when the amateur hits a fat shot, it raises the front of the face so that it glides right through, and it's like you hit it square. And what's actually even more magical, in a way, is when you hit a thin shot, the same turf glider sole technology lowers the back end of the head so you hit it flat and you hit it square and you don't lose the distance that all amateurs lose when you hit fat.
Quick, give the website to go to.
Okay, it's www.highheatgolf. That's highheatgolf.com.
Folks, check it out. You'll be able to get some special deals through Golf Talk Live on their clubs right now. And Steve, thank you for giving the commentary on this amazing trend in the world of golf. Folks, check it out. High Heat. You'll be very happy that you did.
And we are back at Play Around Golf. Great interview. High Heat, folks. Check out that product. It's tremendous. We're going to take a step away for a word from our sponsors. You're listening to Golf Talk Live, the number one golf radio show in America.
Join Golf Talk Live as they take the show on the road to Ireland. Six rounds of golf, six nights in Dublin, Portmarnock, Royal Dublin, Balltray Links, the K Club, the European Club, and Portmarnock Links. Go to Ireland with Golf Talk Live from September 25th to October 4th, 2021. Email Alan at golftalklive.net. That's A-L-L-E-N at golftalklive.net for more details.
In this rapidly changing real estate world, it is imperative you have the expert advice of a global leader. With over 15,000 offices worldwide, Colliers International offers you the solution to maximizing your property value. Relieve the stress of finding that perfect space, sourcing new tenants, or managing your assets. Colliers is a full-service real estate firm dedicated to providing solutions to your real estate needs. Whether buying or selling, accelerate success with Colliers International. Connect with a partner in your area today at colliers.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, folks, in this strange world of 2020, there are a lot of rare sightings. Unfortunately, some of them are like the bald eagle or the great North American wolf, or even more unfortunately, restaurants that are open where you can eat inside. One other very rare sighting in the golf world, a brand new golf course. We have on the line a golf course architect who has been bucking the trend recently because he has built a couple of new golf courses on the west coast of Florida. We have Chris Wilczynski. Chris, welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Thanks, Tony. Happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you. A Michigan State grad, school that has a pretty good history in developing people in the golf industry. And I know that your office is right outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan, but how did you come to be building golf courses on the west coast of Florida?
That's a good question. Interesting story. So I've had my own company since 2010, CW Golf Architecture. But prior to that, I started when I was a senior in high school. I worked for a golf course architect named Arthur Hills. Arthur's office was based in Toledo, Ohio. My dad was a golf course superintendent growing up and had a relationship with Arthur. And helped me get a job there. I did a co-op my senior year of high school, and then ended up studying landscape architecture at Michigan State, and then graduated and started working for Arthur. I worked for him all through college. And so the first two-thirds of my career up to this point, first 20 years or so, were working for Arthur. And when I worked for Art, one of our big clients was Lennar. It was U.S. Home, then it became Lennar. And I did two or three golf courses with Lennar in Florida. And when the economic crisis happened in 2008, Lennar had a mass exodus of people. My main contact there, I think 4 years later, was hired by Taylor Morrison, Tony Scutieri. And so I'm, you know, maintaining friendship relationship with Tony, and Taylor Morrison decided to do in 2012, they did two new golf courses in Florida, one in Naples and then one in Lakewood Ranch, the Esplanade Lakewood Ranch golf course. So that's really how it came about. It was really a long-term relationship with somebody that I had from previous years, you know, working for Arthur Hills, and it evolved into what it is today. And then when Taylor Morrison moved forward with this newest course, I was right there to help them again, and which is a course we just finished called Osario at Lakewood Ranch, which is in the really about a mile or two from the first one that we did.
So Esplanade is a brand, a lifestyle community brand that uses homes built by Taylor Morrison, the huge national company of home builders. And this Esplanade brand has become red hot in Florida because it's the lifestyle that people want. And you talked about the one in Naples and then Esplanade Country Club at Lakewood Ranch. Lakewood Ranch started, I guess, as a development, but it's now an entire city in an area of Florida just a little bit east or inland of Bradenton and Sarasota. And that community got built out at Esplanade Country Club. It's a huge community. And now, right next door, basically, Osario, Esplanade Osario at Lakewood Ranch is the new community. And that's the newest golf course you did, and happens to be the golf course that will be featured this month on our sister show, the Traveling Golfer television show. Folks, don't miss it. It's an eye-opener. A new golf course. And Chris, I walked around it and was amazed at two things. number one, the quality of architectural design that you put into it. But even better yet, the fact that you're an architect who has been listening these last 15 years or so as golfers railed against the prevailing trend of golf course architecture in the 90s, and that was to constantly build the newest, greatest, hardest, toughest torture track for golfers, something that we really don't need in these days. And Azario is a wonderfully playable golf course.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much. I wasn't sure if that was the end of the question, but thank you so much. Yeah, I would agree with all that. Those things. I've been doing this for 30 years now, a little over 30 years, and I've definitely seen trends, you know, throughout my career as far as golf course architecture goes. Right now, the trend is, you know, a lot of people are restoring older golf courses and restoring them back to their original glory and things like that, trying to focus on some of the elements that made golf great when it first started, which is, you know, playability with, you know, having variety, interest, beauty. But the playability part is really important. I worked for an architect that our objective, you know, we were doing courses in the 90s and the early 2000s was to make each golf course as hard as it could be and to win another award and have it better than the previous one we just done, or better than, you know, Fazio or Nicklaus or Palmer or whoever it was we were competing against. And I think we did this industry a disservice because we make golf courses too hard, too difficult, you know, and just not much fun. So my focus, and this was a kind of a mandate by Taylor Morrison when we did the very first golf course, was to make a good golf course, but to make it fun and player friendly. And to me, the first priority of that is width. Like we have to have the right width to have a good golf course. You know, if we have a narrow corridor with water and homes on each side, you know, where you can't hit the ball and find it, hit it again, then I think, you know, we're really disservicing customers, I guess, at the end of the day.
And you definitely did that at Azario, no question. Width off the tee.
Yeah, the width is pretty good on every. Really, I don't think there's any narrow holes out there. There's opportunity. There's lots of water. You know, the thing that people need to realize about Florida is that when we started that golf course, the pallet there, it was dead flat land. There was maybe, you know, 2 or 3 feet of elevation change. So everything that you see out there is manufactured. Would I love to be building a new golf course in northern Michigan on, you know, pristine property land that you don't have to manipulate, you can just lay the holes on? Yeah, absolutely. But that's not how Florida golf works. We have to create what you see out there. So there's a lot of soil that was excavated from all those lakes to create what you see, to create the elevation change, to create the undulations.
So Chris, I think that's a key factor. Quickly, we have to go through two other points. Number one, ornamental grasses. There was another stage in architecture where everybody was putting in fescue all over the place. I hate it. It doesn't work in America. Your ornamental grasses are there as eye candy. They're way out of the playing area. That was obviously part of your design, and you did a great job. And then finally, you built green complexes and greens that are fun. Now, it's going to put pressure on the superintendents not to put stupid hole locations out there, and we've seen that over and over again. Amateurs playing hole locations that the pros would never play, but your greens are going to be fun to play on.
Yeah, I think so. That was one of the things that we talked about when we started the second course. First course we did, which is only a couple miles away. So we tried to make greens a little more with a little more undulation. I personally, while we were building the greens, you know, you build a green from the ground up. I was very involved with the contours, the elevations in the greens. I was on a sand pro creating a lot of that, or what you see or what you'll play putt. The goal was to create flat plateaus where cups would go, and I typically tried to design 3 to 4 of those in each green. But then to have some interesting contours between those areas, whether it's a ridge or a swale or a crown or whatever it may be, but we wanted to have a little more undulation and, you know, put a premium in on being on the right section of the green. And then from there, it's, you know, it is a lot of fun. The putts break a lot. You'll have to be very imaginative of where you pick your line and how much break you choose for some of the putts.
Well, congratulations, Chris. You certainly did that. Folks, make sure you see the new show on Traveling Golfer from Esplanade Azario at Lakewood Ranch, the west coast of Florida. Chris Wilczynski, a great new golf course architect. Well, not brand new, But you'll hear more from him, and it's great to see new golf courses. Talk about it right here on Golf Talk Live.
And we are back at Play Around Golf. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Tony. We're going to take a quick step away to get a word from our sponsors. You are listening to Golf Talk Live, the number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Sorry, old man, you're in a trap.
Trap? What do they catch around here?
Pests.
Oh, they got them here, too?
Now back to Golf Talk Live.
And we are back at Play Around Golf, the Malvern location for the third leg of the Golf Talk Live Winter Tournament Series. Tony, great interview with Chris. It was great to hear his insight on golf construction that is still ongoing.
Yeah, it was great to talk to someone who's building a new golf course every once in a while. The rest of the architects are basically keeping busy doing renovations. And that wasn't the story in golf when, not that long ago, let's say, when we were building golf courses at an amazing rate. The golf construction boom of the 90s and even into 2000 was an overwhelming thing. I'm going to guess you remember that pretty well.
I do. I was on the front end of some of those. I know you love stories. I got to tell you just two stories. Story number one is I was doing a project in Tennessee. Owner hired me to consult on it. Sat down the first time, and he looks at me and he goes, "Well, I have a problem. I have problems trying to make this project work financially." I said, "Okay, where are we at?" He goes, "Well, I've spent $16 million and I don't have a clubhouse yet."
No.
So, so talk about putting yourself behind the eight ball. And the other one goes to a point that you raised and touched on with Chris. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, the architects are listening. Is recently, and I'll protect the names, I was working with a property and we had an architect out and we're talking about moving tees to make it more player friendly. And older architect, and he looks at the owner and said, "But you got to worry about your championship designation." And I looked at him and my response was, "For who? The 70-year-old player that can't get it 50 yards off the, you know, 10 feet off the ground and hitting it about 100 yards?" So it's good to see that the architects are responding and that everyone's understanding that we're all not hitting it like Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, of course, it was that kind of thinking that hurt the golf industry, along with the fact that we sort of overbuilt.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're talking about, as I mentioned with Chris, in 2019, a grand total of 17 new golf courses were built in America. In 2000, in excess of 400 new golf courses opened. That is how dramatic the change has been. And it all came about because the National Golf Foundation, well, not only because of that, but they certainly helped a little bit. In the 90s, they did a study and they said because of the increased demand in golf, Tiger Factor, whatever you want to call it, we needed to build a golf course a day to meet that demand. And people started building them. They figured build it and they will come. And we got a bit overbuilt. It was really something different. And here's a interesting twist to it. The second we go off the air today, and I mean the second, I will be jumping in the car for a Florida road trip about 2 hours north of where I am right now to a place that is probably the greatest example of that golf boom back then, the golf building boom, a place called the Villages, a huge 55-plus retirement community north and west of Orlando, where how many golf courses do they have in that property? How about 12 championship golf courses in that development? And as if that's not enough, they have another 40 executive golf courses. So more than 50 golf courses at the Villages, and that's where I'll be today. They're actually having a golf apparel fest up there with all kinds of different manufacturers and people there. It'll be outdoors. It'll be social distancing and safe, hopefully. But it's, you know, just one of those days where you've got to go up and talk to them. And maybe we'll be doing a Golf Talk Live show in the future from the Villages.
Absolutely.
But talk about the high point of golf course construction. More than 50 golf courses in one community.
I don't. You referenced the point with the National Golf Foundation. I don't believe they'll ever live down that statement that we have to build a golf course a day for the next 10 years to meet the latent demand that's going to be coming. And you're right. I mean, I was actually part of that. I drafted business plans with investment groups I worked with back in the late 90s, and they all talked about the Tiger boom. They all talked about the latent demand. And sadly for, well, I think it was last year, we closed one every 2 days, if my statistics are right. So it's definitely...
I think there was 128 courses that closed last year. Not quite a one every 2 days, but a lot. And, you know, compared to 17 opening, that's pretty staggering. And it's a different landscape now, but we've got people out and playing. And so the next question that the National Golf Foundation is handling is, with this great golf boom of players right now, people playing more golf and more people playing, will we be able to sustain it? And I'm working hard on that. That'll be a major business feature story in the spring issue of Golf Styles magazine. I'm working on that all right now. And we'll be talking about it a lot on Golf Talk Live as I roll out this thing and interview the people across the country on this topic, including Joe Bettis, the president of the National Golf Foundation, who I already talked to about it. So this is the next stage of this whole evolution of the golf industry. But yeah, they were. And you want to know something, Alan? As bad as we talk about this, that building boom back then when they were opening a golf course a day, you know who it was great for in the 90s? It was the greatest thing in the world to be a golf writer because these new courses were kissing your butt left and right to come out, look at your course, evaluate it, do a story about it. I mean, it was boondoggle city back then, and we traveled in packs because, you know, the newspapers, and there were so many magazines back then. I think I told you, I mean, there's now like a grand total of 3 golf magazines in the Mid-Atlantic region, whereas back then there was like 15. So there were writers all over the place, and they were getting courted to go to all these different places and these grandiose grand openings. And the only thing they did wrong in a lot of those grand openings was they'd bring these writers out there, most of whom were, you know, 20-some handicappers. And they set up the course and say, let's show them how tough our new course is. The guys would walk off and say, I never want to play here again in my life. So they did a lot of things wrong on the opening days back then. But they were everywhere. And, of course, we've seen in the Philadelphia area, you know, in the especially the golf capital, Montgomery County, we talk about it all the time. The western part of Montgomery County had virtually no golf courses. And then they sprung up everywhere. you know, Raven's Claw, Bella Vista, Turtle Creek,
right.
The Presidential Course at Hickory Valley. I mean, they were they're all over the place, new golf courses. So it's pretty amazing.
I was actually at a brief stint. I was with the PGA. I remember one of those media days. It was at Bully Rock when Pete took us around the golf course, and everybody, I think we had an entourage of 30, 40 people for the media day for that property. So, yeah, it was an interesting time. Let me ask you a question. Restorations, and Chris touched on it. That's obviously everybody's continuing. They've been, for the last 10 years, a lot of clubs have been deferring maintenance, deferring improvements. Do you feel that this new resurgence in golf, and time will obviously tell, how will that affect restorations for not only private clubs, but some of these daily fees?
Well, a key point is with some of these daily fees, the ones especially who are not saddled with huge banquet meeting facilities, which of course are
sure
virtually shut down right now, but the ones who are set up as a daily fee course and are experiencing record numbers right now in revenue, the key will be the ones that take some of that money and put it back into the golf courses. And that's also part of that story I'm doing right now, how to keep this resurgence going. If they can show that they're doing that, and I talked to one particular owner who has already reinvested a lot of money, well, I'll say the name. I talked to Bob Davis at Raven's Claw, and they're putting a bunch of money back in, building cart paths, doing all of these things to show the people that, yes, they appreciate the uptick in play, and they're putting it back in the golf course. So that's going to be an important thing. As far as the restoration of older courses, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Absolutely.
Like we said with Chris Wolzinski, this guy built this fabulous golf course outside of the Bradenton, Sarasota area. Well, two of the oldest courses in that area, one has just finished a major renovation, and that is the Meadows, and their course, you know, has been around since the 70s. They held many championships there, but it needed work. They bit the bullet, and they closed it for 8 months and did a major renovation. And the other one is Palmer, another one of the older golf courses, 36 holes. They're closing one of their two courses for a major renovation. So, yeah, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, take care. Safe travels as the traveling golfer out there on the roads. Wish you could be here at Play Around Golf with us playing a little golf a bit today. We've got a nice crowd coming in from the third leg of the event here at the Malvern location. Folks, we are about to put the flagstick in on another episode. You are listening to Golf Talk Live. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Golf Talk Live, Facebook, Golf Talk Live, Twitter, TL Golf Talk Live. Tony, good day and
good golf.
Sponsored by Norris Sales Company, the one-stop shop for all of your contractors' equipment rentals, sales tools, and safety supplies for your project. Visit them at norrissales.com. And in part by Black Cat Cigar Company, world famous and available at Germantown Pike in East Narton. And by Kutztown Auto, Eastern Pennsylvania's Cadillac, Buick, and GMC dealer. Mainland Golf Club and Bella Vista Golf Club, Montgomery County's complete golf experience. By Destination Montco Golf, promoting the game in Pennsylvania's golf capital. The Sheraton Atlantic City, the perfect hotel for business or fun. By Raven's Claw Golf Club, Montgomery County's top-ranked daily fee course, hosting the business leaders of the golf world for the 30th International Network of Golf Spring Conference. And by Westover Country Club, 50 years and still your golf and event leader.